Hello, everybody. It's Kathy Hume from CHF Capital Markets. Today, we're going to be talking about vision state, and we have some experts on the call as well. We have an analyst, Ed Varanek. We've got Angel, who's one of our directors, new directors. And we've got Shannon and John from Vision State. Shannon's the new president of Vision State, IoT. John Putters is the founder and the CEO of Vision State Corp, the parent company. So we're going to start with a question I'd like to hear from Ed and from Angel. I've noticed both of you have put sizable positions into this current fundraising that we're doing. And I'd like to hear from both of you as to your thoughts on really why you're putting this much money into the company right now. So
I guess I'll go first. Can everybody hear me good?
Yes, we can hear you, Ed. Thank you.
Okay, so as some of you may know, obviously Peak Positioning, now called Tenet, had gone on a nice run. And, you know, I had taken some money out of that and was looking to reallocate, I guess, diversify into other technology companies. And I'd always known the Vision State name, you know, for a few years, but I took a bigger look into it. I think Kathy also pinged me on it at that time as well. And I noticed that one of their quarters, they had actually gone positive on very little revenue. I think it was like around 100,000, let's say between 50,000 and 200,000 revenue. And I noticed that their cost of sales were very low. So their gross margin was basically like a biotech, like 90 something percent. Mm-hmm. So that intrigued me. And then I learned in due time that it was because they had actually taken a lot of the costs, like the depreciation costs. They had already depreciated as much as they could previously. So it was essentially running at close to 100% gross margins. Now, as that company, as it developed on, unfortunately, the company's revenue kind of just stalled there around, you know, let's say 50,000, 100,000 a quarter. And then, you know, as they were going profitable one quarter, unprofitable the next, so, you know, kind of just sort of flatlining. So I kept my smallish position at that time. I'd actually put some money in a private placement, but, you know, I just, you know, always had it on my back burner, but not really paying much attention, just sort of in as much of a defined as a hold as you could ever have. Took it off my radar for a little bit, but then more recently, you know, I got pinged by Kathy again with this one. And then also I noticed that they brought in Shannon Moore to really grow the company from a sales perspective, I guess, sales and marketing. And one of the previous meetings similar to this one, I remember John Putters, he said that he was basically, you know, he was more of a tech guy, and he admitted that, you know, it's not his area to grow the company, or it's not his area of expertise to really grow revenues as I guess we have seen in the past. And you know, anybody who is willing to admit their own shortcomings, that automatically says to me, okay, you know what? This company is ready. This company is going to make changes that could make it a more investable type proposition. And since, you know, between, let's say, 3-4 months ago when they pinged me a second time about this and up till today, I've seen evidence, not evidence in the financials yet, but evidence based on their actions so far and what they've told us in their investor presentations, that this company is going to go move forward quite quickly. And the one thing that I like about it, continue to like about it, is that the margins remain very high, in that this company, you know, is, they're only projecting, let's say, 5 million in revenue for 2025, which to me is not very aggressive, but on the other side of that, you could say it's very achievable, based on the client base that they have. And then they had, you know, based on that 5 million, what is it, 3-4 million in net income? Not a lot of companies can do that, right? So it's a very lean by nature company. Now, whether that those numbers actually pan out on the OPEX side and on the margin side, that, you know, they have to prove that out still. So that's why I say we need to see a couple quarters of, you know, increased revenue, but also a relatively stable cost base to show, hey, these numbers are actually achievable in terms of margins and bottom line figures. But I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt at 2 cent, you know, 2 cent stock price. That's, you know, fully diluted. Let's say maximum amount of 200 million shares. That's only, you know, assuming all the warrants are exercised, that's still only 4 million market cap. So that's why I figure I like this company where it is right now.
Great. Thank you, Ed. And we'll be asking probably some more questions shortly. So, sure. And Gal, could you please let us know what your thoughts are on Vision State?
Yeah, sure. So I guess there's a lot of common points of interest between what Ed said and what I'm going to say. I currently have about 1.4 million shares, 1 million of which were bought at the private placement in the first tranche. I've known the company since early 2018. And since then, I've had many interesting conversations with John. The company has been on my radar ever since. And essentially, I believe that at the timing of opening a substantial position now is good. So I should back up a little bit. So I want to talk about a few elements which have a lot of weight in my analysis of the company. The first one is that I like the industry. The IoT industry has been experiencing very nice growth over the last couple of years, and I believe that growth will exponentially grow going forward. I've seen a number of IoT companies pop up, particularly in Canada. I do comb the Canadian market fairly regularly for interesting technology companies. And that growth will likely, although there is generally very little correlation between an industry growth and a microcap in that industry, but I do believe that growth will find its way into some revenue growth for the company. The second component is the technology itself. So over the last 5 years, the company has provided distinct track record of various installations with diversified customer base, both in Canada and the US, and in the US, actually even in Europe recently. It has been showing some decent market penetration. And to me, this is a proof of concept, or at least one point of it, which shows that the technology is viable. There's a demand for it. And it's at least decent quality, because I am in no position to be able to tell with 100% certainty the quality of the technology. I do look for confirmations on the market or based on some idiosyncratic company events that do show the quality of the technology. So the track record that the company has is one such point. Scalability of the technology is another interesting element. Of course, that's a byproduct of the SaaS nature of the business, but there's more to it. So there is also scalability in a different direction, in a different dimension, and that is in terms of the diverse business solutions that the company can offer. So the variety of different clients that the company could have and it currently has, in terms of schools and hospitals and I believe the Toronto Zoo and airports, casinos, office buildings, etc. So that variability and diverseness of clients is an interesting sort of dimension to scalability for me. And as Ed mentioned, of course, the high gross margins of the tech, and that's of course a function of the fact that it's again it's a SaaS business, but also the fact that the company has moved from a more hardware sort of focused version of the technology previously to essentially a purely software version in the form of one the mobile. So these elements within the technology, these qualitative elements rather, are interesting to me. The third thing, and that's a very idiosyncratic component, is the partnership with Bunzl. As I said earlier, I'm looking for various ways to confirm that the technology is of high quality, and that was the original sort of confirmation for me back in 2018. The fact that a very large company with many years of track record in the facility management industry has chosen Vision State, and particularly its Wonder technology, was a confirmation to me that the technology likely is, if not super high quality, then at least Bunzl believes there's a lot of potential demand for it. So the Bunzl partnership is another confirmation for me. In addition, the Bunzl partnership also eliminates the sales and marketing expenses for the company, which allows Viz to concentrate on product development and improvements. That's another plus. And there's a few other pluses with related to Bunzl. Of course, Bunzl brings large clients because they can open the doors for large companies that the company otherwise will not have an access to. Increased probability of a potential buyout of the company. That's another pro related to Bunzl. Ultimately, that will be an interesting development if there is an offer on the table sometime in the future. That's not to say that the company should take it, but I like the possibility of that, or the increased possibility of that happening. And of course, there's additional revenue coming from Bunzl through various customization work that the company is doing for them. So Bunzl is a very interesting idiosyncratic element that the company brings. Number four, just going to check through my notes. So more recently, the addition of Shannon Moore to the company as and very recently as the president of the company is a big plus in my book. Essentially, not only Shannon has already come up to speed with the product, she has also shown remarkably good essentially potential to drive the marketing and the sales going forward. And also in addition, obviously allows John to concentrate on the product development alone. So Shannon is definitely a big driving force going forward. That's a very, very, very important element, in my analysis of the company. So the final question really is why now? Why did I buy so many shares now and not a year ago, etc.? So the timing is very, very important. Of course, you can always find a good, promising business, good company, and that really means a lot of things. Good company means good business, good management in a decent industry, etc. But it's highly insufficient. That in itself is highly insufficient to open a large position. There are two other factors that essentially tip the scales for me. One is the cheap valuation, and the other thing is obviously the timing. So let's talk about the timing a little bit here. In 2022, the company essentially completed the transition to Wonder Mobile, entirely to a Wonder Mobile version of the technology. And not only completed the transition, but also showed some decent track record for and a very good growth for that version of the technology. And obviously that makes it much easier going forward to scale, to sell. It's definitely cheaper than the tablet version, etc. So that is one element related to the timing. Obviously, Shannon coming on board and gaining solid experience over the course of the last year is another very important element to the timing. The new pricing model that the company is currently working on and maybe has already even implemented and deployed is also another element for the timing. That obviously happened over the last quarter or so. So these elements give me the reasonable probability that the company is at an inflection point in terms of growth, reasonable probability. And the current placement comes also at the right time. Obviously, the valuation of the placement is fairly cheap at 2 cents, 120 million shares outstanding, 2.4 million market cap, about 2.5 million enterprise value. And you should also keep in mind that the value of the shell itself, the listed shell itself, is typically, well, for venture companies, venture shells, is typically 500,000 to 750,000 above net cash. So you can think of almost one third of the company, or 30% of the current market cap, is the value of the shell. Private placement, of course, comes with a nice warrant, very decent warrant, a two-year warrant and a full warrant. So that provides an opportunity to buy near the bottom. I believe the 52-week low in terms of share price over the, actually more than 52-week, is about 1.5 cents. You can think of it in terms of downside as 25% downside, buying at a 2 cent. And that, of course, depends on each individual investor. The other important factor related to timing here is the market regime. Yes, we've experienced more than a year of a bear market, and in particular, the tech sector bear market. However, I do personally believe that we are near the beginning of the next cycle. Likely will start sometime in the second half of this year. And of course, there's a lot of uncertainty related to it, still related to interest rates, inflation, and what the Fed will be doing in April and March and May. But nevertheless, I think we are not too far from the beginning of the next cycle. That's my personal belief, and I believe that it is now, for me at least, it is the best time to start picking forgotten companies with decent business models and cheap valuations, etc., in the months prior to the beginning of the next cycle, particularly tech, essentially. If one believes that the next cycle will start, for example, in December of this year, you definitely would want to hold a lot of tech in the months prior to that. And so all this put together essentially ticks my main sort of prerequisites to open a decent. Actually, my position in Vision State is not very big relative to my other holdings, but it is proportional to liquidity of the company. And so I do believe that the business is is at an inflection point, and the market regime is likely to start turning sometime in the next 6 to 9 months. Valuation is exceptionally cheap. It essentially, think of buying call option at the moment at 2 cents. Very little downside, a lot of upside. I'm not going to discuss how much of an upside because that's just guesswork. I mean, the company could easily double its share price from 2 to 4 cents without putting a single dollar of additional expenditure. And decent technology, very, very good partnership with a large company, which essentially think of it as another way of downside protection. Very important addition to management. So all these factors put together just for me draw a lucrative picture of a potentially very profitable investment. So I hope that I've covered most of the points that I thought I would cover, but I won't take any more time. So I'll pass the word to somebody else. That's it on my end.
Thank you so much, Angel. That's fantastic. Angel has spent a lot of his career analyzing companies in the tech sector, which is one of the reasons why I was happy that he accepted a job on the board of directors. I guess it was early last year. So those comments, both from Ed and Angel, are fantastic. Shannon has to leave in a few minutes for another meeting, but I would like to hear from Shannon about, how incredibly impressive the recent growth of the company's new activations. Like last year, you had like 6 hospitals. Now you've got 18, I believe, and the list goes on and on and on. So, Shannon, maybe you could just add a few thoughts as sure. to how you see this growth happening and when we expect to see a break-even situation or possibly even a small profit with the company.
Sure. I think it's been touched on the transition between tablets to Wanda Mobile and the QR codes has really made a huge difference. And I'm talking about a huge difference with our sales force, and that is with our partnership with Bunzl. That sales force is critical to our success, and they need to be in a position where they can easily sell it, where they understand the product, where it works really well. They're in front of those customers. And so over the last 9 months or so, we've been extremely aggressive with honestly interviewing them. What are your customers asking for and what do we need to develop? And those developments have been top priority, and almost everything that's been asked for, we're going to be rolling out at the end of Q1. So now you've got this partnership with Bunzl where they know we're listening to them, they know we're listening to their customers, and it's making the transitions with sales a lot easier. So they're not used to selling software, and now they're just wrapping their heads around it and they're loving it. So now we're in a position of Q1 with this new developments being released, which are all about being user friendly, being in a position where even a customer could upload their whole facility on their own without needing the support. It can be that easy for them. So when you take that complication out, it really makes it roll. That and these QR codes being that it's now, you know, financially makes sense for their customers to have it. It just is doubling sales over and over. Bunzl, we have a great relationship with Bunzl. Bunzl has now put forth to their salespeople an actual budget, a quota. So now that these quotas are being rolled out, they're more incentivized to sell. Along with that is the price increase, which did go into effect February 1st. We are now a little over, we're close to 3 times the price as we were. That gives the salespeople incentive. That makes it easier for them to meet their quotas. All these little pieces of the puzzle fit together so that we're just hitting the road running with this product. So it's been really exciting, really busy, but really exciting.
Great. Thank you so much, Shannon. That's very exciting for sure.
And yes, speaking of which, so my role at Vision State has a lot to do with supporting those salespeople and connecting with those customers and making sure they understand the product. So unfortunately, I do have to go because Bunzl is presenting to their largest customer this afternoon, and they felt that it was important that I was there to support. So I'll be headed off to do that.
Well, knock them dead there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And anybody who wants to reach out with any questions, I'm you can find me easy. So no problem.
Great. Thank you so much.
Good luck. Thank you.
Customer. Bye for now.
Bye.
Okay. So I have one other question that I would like to ask John Putters to answer. And Angel, do you have something? Angel? Okay, good. So, John Putters, I'd like to ask you a question. You are now, there's two questions in this question. One is about AI and data and, how you're integrating. Already you've got tons of data in your app, but the AI component of your software, I'd like you to speak about that for a minute. And I'd also, like you to mention about your RFID, which stands for Radio Frequency Identification Device. So how you've now added that to your suite of features.
Sure. Thanks, Kathy. Now that Shannon is fully up and running, and, you know, like I hired her a year ago, September, on a part-time basis, but really as Kathy and Angel and several others know, I was really looking for the perfect fit. Somebody that understood the technology, somebody that could, you know, navigate the relationship with Bunzl, and somebody who had really strong operational experience. So really pleased that she came on, because I can now focus on my passion, which is the innovation side. So getting to the AI, I think most analysts in technology say that this will be the year of artificial intelligence, even though it's been around a little bit, but there's been some game changers, in particular ChatGPT. And I'll just tell you, I use that daily now. I mean, I'm not even kidding. The marketing plans it's drafted, the press releases, our last four press releases are at least 80% AI. So I can't be that efficient. The fact of the matter is analytics, I would say AI is the next evolution of it. And because here's the thing, analytics gives you the data that you want, right? And it'll compare certain things. For example, we have algorithms between our people counters and the consumption of soap, for example. We know on average people pump the soap 4 times, so it's pretty easy to get an algorithm together to predict when it's likely to be low of soap. What the AI does is a much more thorough analysis of all the data. So instead of, and let me just compare it to Google really quickly. You can ask Google a question and it'll give you a list of results, and you'll have to go through those results, read the source, and then form your own opinion. So AI is eliminating that second step. In fact, I would say ChatGPT and other technologies like that are, in fact, Google killers, because I don't use Google anymore. If I have any questions, I'm going to the AI. So I've been following this for a long time, but it's now broken out. We were looking at incorporating AI even a year ago into it, but the fact of the matter is that it's just an easier, smarter way of getting information quickly, and one that is really answering your specific question. For example, you could go to our analytics today and look at traffic patterns and cleaning patterns, but what if I wanted to know really quickly in December 2022, how many cleanings were missed by whom, when, and where? The AI can produce an answer to that within a few seconds, literally. And we've been partnered with a company for some time, working together on this. We're very close to launching an AI-driven customer service module that really replaces the old Vicky directories that we had that had actually rudimentary AI at one point. So we have a very, very strong effort in AI, and it's going to be implemented in our core very shortly, and our customers are very excited about that. We're pushing the envelope on a bunch of different technologies. We just developed the first ever, literally the first ever time of flight people counting sensor, which is specific to our needs. We found that the products on the market were all good if you're just doing science on traffic patterns in the shopping center. But we have a very specific application, and a lot of our customers are not the owners of the building. They're the building service contractors who are there until the expiry date of their contract, unless they renew. Therefore, we need a technology that could be moved. So we couldn't have a PoE or power over Ethernet solution. We required a solution that was battery operated and the rest of it. So time of flight was a whole new field of sensors, I'll call it, but really related to gesture control, which is growing substantially as well, I might add. But they were using time of flight sensors. So we've done this, and now we're actually launching that in March. So that's another really cool innovation we're doing. We were playing with RFID as well. We actually done a few projects using RFID. However, we're sort of, believe it or not, kind of moving away from it. One of the reasons why is it's very intensive on the hardware and infrastructure. So what we've actually done, believe it or not, is leveraged our Wanda technology to really do the QR codes to do the same thing as what RFID would deliver at, frankly, a fraction of the price. So in a sense, we've already eclipsed what RFID was known for doing, which is basically, you know, tracking items, right? You know, pallet of toilet paper arrives, where does it go? This is hugely important now in the facility management sector because of the rising cost of commodities. So, you know, it used to be a marginal cost. Now it's a big cost in things like shrinkage, which is a nice term for stealing stuff. We've addressed all those pain points and can track it now through our mobile device. So really exciting to be working on all these new technologies. They're all new revenue streams for Vision State. I'm going to be sending out a invoice very shortly for the time of flight sensors that we just developed for Bunzo, because those are in huge demand. I mean, I'll just say that people counting sensors give context to all the rest of the data. So how efficient are you based on that traffic? So, you know, there's no sense cleaning an area or a restroom, you know, five times a day if only a quarter of the traffic from, you know, the busier restrooms are happening. So you're better off to reallocate your resources. And again, resource management in terms of labor is huge right now, primarily because it's impossible to hire people. So using this technology to make it more efficient and more effective at that level is extremely important. So that's kind of what we're doing on the innovation side, Kathy. And you know, again, we're right at the front cutting edge of it, and really happy to be part of that. You're on mute, Kathy. Sorry.
That's exciting. Thank you so much, John. So I'm going to conclude the formal part of this call, Zoom call. And we will stay back for further questions. But I just want to thank everybody for attending and thank the participants, Ed Vranek, and Gal Volos, and also John and Shannon for participating. Thank you so much.